Do you find yourself, Keegan, and you're in a different spot than most in that you cover this team. You're not coming at it from a subjective fan's point of view. But do you find yourself as eager or more eager to see Bo Bichette every night than Vladdy at this point?
That's a great question. And I think that you might really at this point because of the streaks that are alive and the style of baseball that Bo plays. I mean, we talk so much about numbers and projections, but sometimes you have to strip it down just to the pure visual element, the entertainment element of the game, which is what most fans care about. It's why they turn on their TV or why they go to the ballpark. And, you know, Bo Bichette in every part of his game is maximum effort. It is full out, all the way electric energy that he brings to this team. And that's why he is the player who I think will really determine the attitude and the edge of this team going forward. And the numbers he's put up have been incredible. You know, he is a line drive hitter who is capable of hitting 40 plus doubles year over year down the road as he grows. And you're seeing why. Everything off of his bat is hard. There have been no bloop singles, no lucky streak extenders along the way. Just incredible, you know, what he has done, and it's unprecedented in a lot of ways. Every night there's a new record we're talking about.
When you said Bo could hit 40 plus doubles, I thought you were talking about this week, the way that last night went. A favorite of one Scotty Mac over here, Vladdy is expected to be an elite offensive player in the league, probably the best on the Blue Jays. But is there a chance that we talk about Bo Bichette as the better overall player?
The defensive value is really going to matter a lot there. When you look at overall value, wins above replacement, if and when Vladdy moves over to first base and then maybe later in the career DH is in the conversation, that obviously is going to take away some of that overall value. While Bichette at shortstop, if he can even have average value there, play average defensively and put up his numbers, then it's always in the conversation. It is possible. And viewing these players, it's always important to view their offense relative to their position as well. You know, a catcher doesn't need to hit as much as a third baseman, for example. Mm-hmm. And if you can have Bo Bichette doing what he does as a shortstop, you know, getting that much offense from that position is a huge bonus and a luxury that I think only a handful of teams in this game have the potential to have, you know, having what Bo Bichette could provide over these coming years.
So one of the things that we were talking about a little bit earlier this morning, Keegan, is the fact that there is a singular and a little bit early trade deadline, right? Usually players were able to be moved by their teams a little bit later into the season, August. Now it's July 31st or nothing. And we saw some interesting things happen to the market. We didn't see sellers panic and just get rid of things for nothing. I know some people listening are saying, well, did you see what the Blue Jays got in return for Stroman and Sanchez? But I'm talking about the league as a whole. In your opinion, Keegan, what's positive versus negative about the early and singular trade deadline?
So the good news about it, I think, is the fireworks show that we saw on the actual deadline day. And I think going forward into coming seasons, when maybe there are more buyers in coming years, this year was fairly average, but as there are more buyers, you could see even more big deals ahead of that deadline. And it will be more of that one day rush. And it was always not a letdown, but when you would get past July 31st and then have to explain, well, there's another deadline, it's not totally over at this point. And guys like Freddie Galvis, maybe even Dustin Smoke, hypothetically, would have been guys that had August interest down the road. Right. Certainly as teams see how their rosters are working out, as injuries pop up like they are around the league still through August, those are guys who would really, I think, have had that interest. But I think it simplifies things. It cleans it up. But it does make it so that teams have to get it right the first time. I think in future seasons, you might see teams make some more insurance moves that they might not need right away, but adding a little more depth at that deadline. And I think some teams might have to learn that the hard way the first time.
With Keegan Mathieson, and I think a prime example of that, Keegan, they've been through the ringer all year and yet have had a fantastic year in spite of it. The New York Yankees with all the injuries. Edwin Encarnacion breaks his hand on August the 3rd. I mean, that you'd be able to replace him, not necessarily with a player of his caliber, but you'd be able to replace him from outside of your organization and have that guy be playoff eligible under the old rules, right? And you can't predict that on July 31st or before.
I think Edwin is a great example. If this were last year and Edwin Encarnacion of the Yankees had have broken his hand on that date, then I think Ross Atkins is getting a call from a New York area code. I think you can line that up pretty straight line. And those are those risks. Those are how teams will have to look ahead and say, where are we one injury away from being in trouble? And that requires a little more forward thinking and maybe some trades that won't be as obvious or as normal as we're used to seeing. But teams who are that close to being in trouble, and the Yankees have just had an incredible year in terms of injuries and overcoming them, but that's where it gets tough because, yes, you can find the rare Freddie Galvis on waivers and there will be some relief help and stuff like that you can find through free agency and DFA, but there's not much high-end talent available at this point. You kind of have what you have, and that's a risky proposition for some teams who are a little thinner depth-wise.
Well, and Ashley made the point earlier on in the show about with Galvis to Cincinnati, it feels like you get fleeced a little bit because you lose a guy for nothing. When the truth of the matter really is, I'm sure they looked around baseball, right? Toward the end of July, what is the market for Freddie Galvis? There really wasn't anything there. And the perception that some people, because we live on Twitter and we see it, some people are quite upset about this. The perception is they gave him up for nothing when really he was Eric Sogard or even a little less than Eric Sogard. And Eric Sogard got you people who haven't been identified yet. Right, but the fact, yeah, but so the fact that there's a potential return
to get that market, understood for the Blue Jays and try to find a trade partner. And of course, Bo Bichette's debut has changed things a bit, but not drastically enough to completely change the direction of Galvis there. And it almost reminds me a bit of something that you see more in the NFL, where starting caliber players are released or lost for free, quote unquote, just due to contract issues. But maybe you'll see this a bit more through August and September now in the majors as kind of teams only options. And, you know, other teams, of course, would have been interested in Freddie Galvis. You know, other teams want a shortstop who is hitting for some surprising power and can really play defensively. But there is the option, and, you know, other teams are smart as well. There is the option to just wait and see if it's available for free. And, you know, there's money, of course, but transactionally for free. And that's what the Reds got here. So I think this is maybe another piece of fallout that we could see from that singular trade deadline. Maybe some more names lost on waivers that normally wouldn't have been.
So we're watching a non-playoff team in August. The trade deadline, a lot of fans were mad, didn't like how it went. Then the Bo Bichette show comes to town, breaking records. He's doing amazing. Jays actually start winning some baseball games. What should fans be expecting, or what should expectations be, I guess, for fans down the stretch here?
I think it's at least going to be exciting, watchable baseball. And there are a lot of different ways to have a losing season. You know, you can do it the way the Blue Jays did last year, where it's involving a lot of players who aren't clearly part of the future. There's still a bit of a bridging of the gap there. And frankly, that's not exciting baseball. You know, that it's easier for fans when they can see what the future will look like. And that's what this year has been. So you will see a lot of nights where the offense really does blow up. And it's a fun offense. There's an element of chaos to it. There is the home run power, stringing hits together, some noise on the bases, which hasn't always gone in their way like we saw yesterday. But it's fun to watch. Now, I think the pitching will be the big variable, where that comes from, when it arrives, how it arrives. That's going to determine where this Blue Jays team goes long-term. But these young players having the opportunity to not just succeed but fail at the major league level and do it together, I think is a significantly different viewing experience than you had this time last year.